Thank you very much. I'm not sure if we provide the clients or whether it's the courts that provide them. Unfortunately, in Stilfontein, with the one escapee, it seems that there's a client missing at the moment. Thank you for the opportunity to brief you today. I think there are many concerning things that have especially happened over the last few months, and parts of the South African Police Service actually feel slightly chaotic at the moment. So I think it's critical for us to have a briefing such as this. I'm going to start with the memorandum of the 31st of December that the Minister of Police, Minister Ntuthuko, sent to the National Commissioner. Firstly, obviously the committee noted it. I think it's important to emphasize that we are concerned about certain kinds of documents that are just distributed all over the place, things that potentially should not be communicated that way, or should rather officially be made public. But nonetheless, the requests by the minister are noted. And while the closure of the political killing task team has been condemned, the under-resourcing of the South African Police Service must be stressed, and it must be addressed. The financial sustainability of various task teams, not only that one, and high-density operations must be reviewed. We saw recently, and I mentioned crime intelligence as an example in terms of informants, where we'll speak about other challenges regarding finances soon, for now, but specifically with regards to informers' budget being increased. In a country where we want to build an intelligence-led policing model, it's critical for us to make sure that those budgets and the allocation thereof are not only adequate, but properly administered. The Division of Crime Intelligence has been identified by the committee as a critical pillar of proactive policing. And it's clear that the minister seems that he understands the vital role that crime intelligence should play with regards to successful policing. While the committee does not fully agree with the moratorium placed on recruitment or questions certain motives behind it, we welcome the steps to review the division and believe it's very important. The recent revelation of the purchase of a 23 million rand hotel in Pretoria will be interrogated by the committee and the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, as the procurement thereof, specifically in terms of the procurement thereof, falls under the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. But other parts of CI, Crime Intelligence, is under the ambit of the Police Committee. And I must stress that we are extremely concerned about the constant faction fights within the crime intelligence environment. It feels a bit like a political chess match being played within the crime intelligence environment. And while they fight, South Africans are left vulnerable. And it's critical for us to emphasize that we will engage in robust sessions or discussions to scrutinize the chaos within that specific division and environment. Now, there is the National Commissioner, General Semola, the Divisional Commissioner, General Kumalo, and all the other senior managers in that division. We will question them objectively and we'll go through the process as is needed. I must emphasize too that last year Parliament resolved that there should be a skills audit done in the senior management of the South African Police Service, and I think crime intelligence is a very good place to start with that, not only in terms of skills to get the theoretical part of the job done, but also general fitness to hold office. We welcome the dismissal of the previous head of crime intelligence in the Western Cape, and we applaud SAPS for handling the matter with the relevant urgency after the revoking of the dismissal last year. In terms of the reports of the disbanding of National Inspectorate, we've noted with concern reports that indicate the South African Police Service intends to close the Crucial Inspectorate Analysis Centre and Service Complaints Unit. Given the significant role that this unit plays in terms of accountability and oversight and service delivery within the South African Police Service, the committee views this development as potentially detrimental to the broader efforts and its strengthening governance and operational effectiveness of the South African Police Service. And I'd like to stand still there for a moment, but we get hundreds of complaints every single day in terms of service delivery, complaints that often fall outside of the scope of the committee itself. But we handle these because we know that other departments or other officers within the South African Police Service don't have the resources that they need. But we've come to a point now where we simply cannot handle the amount of complaints we often get. And then it becomes even more worrying that they would consider to close a critical division like this. To gain a comprehensive understanding of the rationale behind this proposed decision, the committee will summon the National Commissioner and the Minister of Police to provide a detailed explanation. We're also disappointed in the fact that it wasn't communicated to us in any way in any of the previous briefings we had at the end of 2024. The engagement will seek to clarify the motivation for the closure, the anticipated impact of oversight functions, and the measures that will be put in place to ensure continued accountability and transparency within SAP's operations. The committee is particularly concerned that such a decision could further weaken the already fragile accountability framework, therefore my comment about not having adequate resources. It potentially hinders the efforts to address the public concern and complaints, enhance service standards, and uphold the integrity of the police service. As oversight and monitoring are critical to building public trust and improve police efficiency, the committee remains committed to ensure that any changes made within SAPS do not compromise its objectives. The third point I'd like to discuss is consequence management within the South African Police Service. I believe the credibility of the South African Police Service has been dented by the inclination to harbour criminality accused individuals inside the South African Police Service. The Minister has revealed that 40 members of the South African Police Service are currently on suspension with pay for reasons including allegations of serious misconduct, corruption, theft, even murder. The delay in implementing consequence management within SAPS erodes trust in the South African Police Service and cannot continue unabated. The continued delay, and this is just a simple example, of consequence management against the 8 VIP officers that belong to the protection detail of the Deputy President, Colm Shatile, on the N1 over a year ago, is a huge concern for the committee because they are still in service of the South African Police Service and the solution thereof remains to be seen. Furthermore, the committee remains steadfast that rogue police officers must be removed by the South African Police Service. In terms of extortion, in line with the mandate conferred upon the committee by the National Assembly in 2024, the committee will intensify its oversight efforts over the executive to monitor the implementation of strategies aimed at curbing extortion-related activities. The key component of these efforts will include hosting a joint dialogue with Select Committee on Justice and Security, marking a significant step in fostering collaboration between the two Houses of Parliament. This collective approach is expected to enhance oversight, improve accountability, and drive a more coordinated response to challenges posed by extortion. Furthermore, the committee plans to conduct oversight visits to KwaZulu-Natal and so to the Eastern Cape, provinces that have really, in particular, been affected by the scourge of extortion. Obviously, so too, as we've done with unannounced visits in certain areas in the Western Cape and Gauteng, continue to do so, and obviously extortion will receive additional effort because of the way that it numbs communities throughout the country. These visits will provide an opportunity to engage directly with the affected communities, law enforcement agencies, and other stakeholders. South African Police Service and various stakeholders continue to implement strategies to combat extortion, but we are although worried whether these strategies are working, and in certain parts we have our doubts, other parts we have seen decreases, but we are concerned about the fact, and it's something that comes up very regularly in the committee, that we're constantly seeing a notion of just sending more uniformed members and not targeting specific incidents with an intelligence-driven policing strategy. We remain committed to work collaboratively with the relevant stakeholders to ensure the strategies are put in place to contribute to a safer and more secure environment for South Africans. The last two or three points. Gang-related murders and mass killings we've seen over the months. The alarming increase in gang-related killings and mass murders in the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape underscores the critical shortcomings of the South African Police Service and specifically crime intelligence in those areas. We recently saw the incident in Yanga, where from a Metro Police point of view, and a law enforcement point of view, the police were warned about the potential threat of that incident. And it helped in terms of foster reaction, but very little seems to have been done in terms of being proactive to stop these things before they happen. And there are many more examples, and we can use the Cape Flats as a very fitting example where this could have been done. These violent incidents have indicated the urgent need to bolster the capacity and effectiveness of crime intelligence on ground level to make sure that we act proactively. The committee emphasizes the importance of the recently signed collaboration agreement with certain local governments around the country, which effectively implemented conservatives' powerful tools in the fight against crime. This morning I was listening to a part of a book called Intelligence-Driven Policing by Radcliffe, and one of the things he speaks of is the idea of a fusion center. And it's such a simple concept, you can look it up, it's a simple concept of different law enforcement bodies sharing certain information and even intelligence, ensuring that they do some kind of proactive operation. Unfortunately, that seems to be quite the vacuum at the moment. In addition, the committee remains steadfast for its call to increase funding for detective services, so too crime intelligence, and adequate resourcing for these units is critical to ensure that they've got the necessary tools, technology, and personnel to operate effectively. It's also important for us to mention we need to consider the reallocation of non-essential functions such as certain VIP protection services, which currently consume a disproportionate share of the police budget without delivering meaningful value to the broader South African public. The committee will continue to engage with the relevant stakeholders to ensure that resource allocation in SAPS is optimized, transparent, and responsive to the current crime crisis that the country faces. Almost in conclusion, in terms of Stilfontein, illegal mining continues to pose a serious threat to the safety and security of people in South Africa, while also having a substantive negative impact on our economy. The recent Stilfontein incident has brought these concerns to the forefront. However, as the full details surrounding the event remain unclear, it would be premature to speculate on the circumstances. Nevertheless, preliminary reports suggest that SAPS should have anticipated all possible outcomes and developed a comprehensive contingency plan to address various scenarios effectively. Proactive intelligence gathering, strategic planning, and coordination with relevant stakeholders are essential to ensuring that such operations are conducted with precision and with minimal risk. It's imperative that all arrests of law enforcement actions are conducted within the framework of the law, adhering to the principles of minimum force, respect for life, and fundamental human rights. The committee firmly believes that the values of democratic policing, namely transparency, accountability, and respect for constitutional rights, must always be upheld. We'll continue to engage with South African Police Service leadership to ensure full accountability within our scope regarding the operational decisions, adherence to legal frameworks, and to other ethical policing practices. In terms of our oversight visits, during the previous term, the committee conducted an oversight visit to the Philippi Police Training Academy, and we remain deeply concerned by South African Police Service continued lethargy in addressing recommendations that were put forward. Despite clear directives, the lack of decisive action, and prolonged delays in finalising the investigation into corruption allegations are just simply unjustifiable. The committee is committed to holding the South African Police Service accountable and will persist in demanding answers and consequence management against any officers found to have engaged in wrongdoing at the academy. Ensuring accountability within such training institutions is crucial to maintaining integrity and professionalism within the police service. Lastly, we're deeply troubled by these ongoing challenges, many of which I've now already mentioned, which significantly undermine SAPS's ability to combat crime effectively. Addressing these systemic issues is paramount to restoring confidence in law enforcement and ensuring that police stations function as the first line of defense against criminal activities. Moving forward, The committee will intensify its oversight efforts to ensure that SACS takes urgent and measurable steps to improve service delivery at the station level and allocate resources effectively, produce tangible improvements in policing outcomes, and also to ensure that they understand that it's vital that constituency work feeds into the work that the committee and Parliament does as a whole. Lieutenant Colonel Peter Pretorius, Constable Mutlong, Constable Sipho Mohape, Constable Ayanda Muyikwa, and Constable Callan Andrews, and many other officers killed in the line of duty, highlight the very worrying trend and challenge of crime against police officers. The committee reiterates that attacking a SAPS officer is a direct attack on the state, and that strategies must be implemented to protect SAPS members. In closing, the committee would like to extend heartfelt condolences to the families of SAPS members that lost their lives in the line of duty. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson Cameron.